Well, good evening, everybody. I appreciate Greg praying for the Kirk family and the country. I mean, I'll be honest, it kind of hit me. And I think there's something emblematic in this horrific assassination. And I think it's a window into what's really happening at the core of our nation. It's divided. And, you know, I think a lot of people, a lot of Christians, certainly a lot of politically conservative people are angry. And, you know, let me just say a word about anger. You know, God gets angry. It's a holy emotion. The challenge that we have, yeah, we should get angry, but Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. So we have to navigate that emotion in a way that we make sure that our anger stays righteous, that it stays holy. And if it gets outside of the bounds of righteousness and holiness, then it's sinful. And so I heard this analogy somewhere. I don't know. I wish I could give credit to somebody, but a cement truck has the mixer on the back, right? And it rolls around and around, keeps that cement mixing and moving and moving until it can get to its location where it can then begin to pour out that mixed cement so that it forms something positive, something useful, a blessing. But what if that cement mixer stopped mixing without pouring out that cement? That cement would harden and it would essentially destroy that cement mixer. And that's what anger does if it turns into resentment. It hardens and becomes something simmering that just is inside of you. It's not helpful. It's destructive. And so let me encourage you tonight is, you know, if you're angry, don't let that turn into resentment. Take it to God in prayer. Talk about it with your brothers and sisters. We may be able to do that tonight. I don't know what we're doing tonight, honestly. I thought, okay, do we keep going in Romans? And then it just didn't feel right. So there's a psalm that the Lord brought to my mind that's been helpful to me so many times in times like this and times where I'm tempted to be sinfully angry. So it's Psalm 37. If you have your Bibles, you can open there. I'm just going to work through it. We're just going to kind of process tonight together. Is that okay? I see my brother Leon is here with his beautiful wife. Have you been blessed in your life by Leon Patillo? Is that name ringing a bell? Yeah. So Leon was in the band Santana way back in the day, and he met Jesus in a life-changing way and had a prolific music ministry, still does. But back in the, it had to be 80s and 90s, I guess, that's when I was youth pastoring at Calvary Chapel Downey, and his songs were just everywhere. And a blessing to the body of Christ. So we're blessed to have him here. And Leon and his wife, they do a lot of things. They're making a movie right now. It's going to be hopefully released next year. And but they also go around to various cities throughout the United States, and they advocate for kids and really minister to the youth, and especially in the area of suicidal ideation and giving kids hope. That's not the way out, and there is a way forward. And so we appreciate them, and we talk today about doing something together in the future. Well, Psalm 37 is a psalm of David. David is an old man. We know that from, is it verse 25, where he says, "I've been young and now am old." That's kind of tells you. I can say that myself. I was young, now I am old. So he's an old man, and he's had some time to reflect upon some things, and especially this ongoing nagging issue of evildoers in the world. Evildoers. There have been evildoers in the world from the beginning, from the time that Cain killed his brother Abel. And so Abel killed, who killed who? Yeah, okay, sorry. Don't want to misquote the Bible. That's the last thing the pastor wants to do right there. So look at verse 1. "Fret not yourselves because of evildoers." Fret, worry. Don't worry. It means to, the Hebrew word, it means to burn, to heat up inside. And so David is saying, stay cool. And don't be envious, he says, of wrongdoers. They seem to get away with things. For they will soon, here's why, Christian, why you don't need to burn with anger, fretting and worrying. They will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Okay, that's what's going to happen to the evildoer. Remember in, I think it's, I want to say 2 Peter 1, in right around verse 24, where he quotes Isaiah and he says, "All flesh is as grass, and all flesh is like the flower of the grass. It appears, but then it's dead. Comes on the scene, makes a splash, but then it's done." These evil acts are done in time, and they will fade into nothingness over time. And the people who do them will be cut down like the grass and forgotten. So, on the positive side, trust in the Lord and do good. Trusting in the Lord is the opposite of fretting, the opposite of worrying. Trusting the Lord and worrying, they can't exist in the same heart. You're either trusting the Lord or you're worrying. And so this has always been a good barometer for me. If I find myself weighed down with worry and care, all of a sudden I go, I'm not trusting. I'm not trusting the Lord right now. And so I'm all in turmoil inside. I'm all churned up. Now it's going to happen. We're going to get churned up. But the point is, recognize it and go, "Lord, I cast my cares on you right now. God, I'm upset. I'm upset about this person who took a shot at a good brother in Christ who is out there living for the Lord and doing what you gifted him to do. And his life was taken from his wife and his two kids. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do good. Good. True good is good for everybody. God's people are at their core, we are good. The Bible says over and over again, the Lord is good. And we want good for people, for our fellow humans. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and befriend faithfulness. So don't be moved by whatever the thing may be. Don't let it move you out of the land, the promised place that God has designed for you. Don't let it move you to a place where you find yourself outside of the center of the will of God, taking things into your own hands or operating in the flesh. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Be faithful. Let faithfulness be your best friend. I'm not going to be moved. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It matters. It matters in this life, and it matters in the next. Remember in the Gospel of Mark, we talked about greatness, what true greatness is, and the disciples arguing, I'm going to be the greatest in the kingdom. No, I'm going to be. And they argued, made their arguments. And then Jesus said, hey, guys, if you want to be really great in the kingdom, you need to be last. You need to be the servant of all. We who want to be great, we choose to take the place of servant. We choose to serve all people like Jesus did. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. He washed feet. If the Almighty Son of God washed feet and served, that is the ultimate demonstration of greatness. So he goes on, does David, he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I've always read this, and I think it's true, that he doesn't give you what you want. He gives you the heart to want what he wants for you. When you delight yourself in the Lord, your heart is shaped into the heart of God. And all of a sudden, you find yourself wanting the things that God wants for you. And then you want those things because they are the best things. God has the best gifts. It's like the gifts that matter. And there's such a overemphasis these days, especially in the American church, on the material, always the material. You know, he'll give you more. He'll give you more, bigger this, more that. Listen, those aren't the best gifts. They aren't. The best gifts are the gifts that go on from this life to the next. So trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord, rather. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And then he says, commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way, the road, the path. Commit your path to the Lord. God, you're there. You're already in my tomorrow. You're in my next week. And so I'm trusting you with this path. And Lord, like it says in numerous places in Scripture, make my path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Lord, I'm committing this path to you, this road. And I trust that you're paving it. And so I'm gonna just commit my way to you. I don't want to get off the path. I don't want to get off in the ditch. And I trust, Lord, that there's nothing that's going to surprise you, because you've gone before me. You're in my next year already. And so I can commit my way to you. Trust in him, and here it is. He will act. He will act. Beloved, Romans 12, 19, avenge not yourselves. For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Listen, there's an anti-Christian and an anti-Jewish sentiment that is on the rise in our country and in the world. And Jesus said in John 15, 18, listen, people hated me, they will also hate you. And that's what I think we're seeing. You know, I get it. It's political discourse and that kind of thing that's out there. And it's all framed as politics. But underneath, or above, I should say, the politics is the reality of the spirit realm and the true fight that's happening between light and darkness. And so, and I think Greg prayed it, but we're not wrestling ultimately against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we've got to be careful that we don't get into the wrong arena to fight. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be involved in, you know, the political realm. I'm not saying that at all. I was talking to a local pastor a couple days ago, and he was asking me about the political proposition that's happening right now in Idaho that could be detrimental to churches, because it might make there might be a list of people who give. I'm going to mess this. You're going to be hearing about this anyway. The discussion was, hey, what do you think about this? And I said, well, Pastor, I know a lot of people, they say Christians shouldn't be involved in politics at all. And then there's others that think that that's the only thing we got to fight for, the whatever. And I'm kind of somewhere in the middle, I suppose. We're citizens of heaven first, but we are citizens of the United States, and we are citizens of Idaho, and we're citizens of Twin Falls or Jerome or wherever you're living. And so there is a responsibility, a practical responsibility that comes with that, and we need to reflect God's heart for our city. Remember in Jeremiah to the exiles, here's what you do when you're in exile, when you're in the foreign land where you're going to be a citizen, a lesser citizen than rather than the promised land citizens, here's what you do. You work for the welfare of the city that you're in. And you plant gardens. And you make it beautiful. And you pray for the welfare of Babylon. Because in its welfare, you'll find your own. I just don't see that we disconnect from the whole, you know, political realm and pray for the return of Jesus. Pray for the return of Jesus, yeah. But so, verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wait patiently. Wait on the Lord. That's one of those truths that has been brought to my heart and mind time and time again over my 40 plus years of walking with Jesus. Waiting on the Lord is the one way that I can ensure that I'm not acting out in the flesh, that I'm not just being me and doing an impulsive thing. If I wait on the Lord, now there's a time to act, but waiting on the Lord ensures that I'm in sync with God. One of my favorite Tom Petty songs, the waiting is the hardest part. No Tom Petty fans here. Nobody, but thank you. Thank you. The waiting is the hardest part. That was a terrible Tom Petty, but you get the idea. When we wait on the Lord, we get in alignment with the Lord. Fret not yourselves. There it is again. Fret not yourselves over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Now, Lord willing, they're going to catch this assassin. They thought they had, they got one guy and determined he wasn't the guy. They caught another guy, determined he wasn't the guy. And last time I saw, there's the guy's still out there. Lord willing, Lord, this is a prayer. Please allow our law enforcement to catch this guy. Let justice be brought to bear upon him. And Lord, in your mercy, save him. It's a crazy prayer. Kill him, then save him. No, don't kill him, then save him. Save him, then kill him. Pastor probably can't say that. Oh, well, too late. And all God's people said? Okay, all right, I feel better. I feel better. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it only tends to evil. That's the tendency. So if you nurture the thing and grow the thing, it's gonna lead to evil. You're gonna do something stupid. You're gonna do something that you regret, something that's gonna hurt someone else. That's the way it works. And here's why you don't need to do that. For evildoers shall be cut off. They shall. But those who wait for the Lord, they shall inherit the land. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek, not the weak. The meek. Meekness is power under the control of God. It's power. It's used of a horse, of a stallion that gets trained and now is useful to the master. The master can ride the stallion and it will take him where he wants to go and do what he wants him to do. It's still powerful. But now it's useful. Listen, you're powerful. Meekness, says God, you be Lord over this power of my manhood, my womanhood, my humanity. He goes on, in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Just a little while. It's been going on for a long time, Lord. A long time. I suppose it was easier to manage before the days of television and radio and then internet and smartphones and news just coming at us all the time of the evil, of the evildoers, and the 20-year-old beautiful Ukrainian girl who fled from the war and comes to our country. She loves the country. She works at a pizza place. She's riding on the train, and she's just sitting there, and a man gets up and stabs her in the neck. And everybody around her just, how long? How long? Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. It's coming. We can enjoy the peace of God now. It's our inheritance in this life. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and then the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. My peace I give you, Jesus said, not as the world gives. My peace is, it's supernatural. It's sourced in the spiritual realm. It's sourced in heaven. But there is a peace. This peace that we enjoy now in part is going to be pervasive and absolute in the coming kingdom. So the wicked, he goes on, plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. And I see this. I see the, just a little bit today, because I was following the story. Some of the things the cable news people were saying. Wow. I mean, blaming Charlie Kirk for Charlie Kirk's murder. Like, what? Seeing on a YouTube video, the feed, all the people rejoicing. That's just evil. The wicked plots, they gnash their teeth. But here's what the Lord does. The Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. God's not laughing at the evil that's done. He's in a scornful, mocking way, laughing at the arrogance of people that think they're somehow going to get away with it. And God says, I see your day. I see it coming. Reminds me of Psalm 2. Remember Psalm 2, Messianic Psalm, where the kings of the earth, the power players on planet earth, they gather together and they plot and they plan. How can we break the cords of the Lord and his anointed? How can we break free of these restraints? And the Lord sits in the heavens, and what does he do? He laughs. He laughs. I will set my king on Zion, God says. Ask of me the nations for your inheritance, and I will give them to you. He said, Father says to the Son. Kiss the Son, you kings, you power players in the earth, lest he be angry. The wicked draw the sword and they bend their bows to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart and their bow shall be broken. That day is coming. That's always been a problem with God's people, is the promise of justice. But we have to live in a fallen world where justice oftentimes does not happen in time. And it's bothersome. And especially when you see the wicked prosper and not get what's coming to them. in this life. But I love this. Verse 16, better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. You see the wicked power players out there, the cabals, and they're all up doing all kind of nasty kind of stuff. There's all kinds of conspiracies there, whatever. We know there's probably that and a lot more going on that God knows about that we don't. God says, if you're struggling to pay the rent, you are way better off than those people. If you're a follower of Jesus, way better off. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord does that. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. Forever. Planet Earth is ours. We will rule with Jesus. We inherit the earth, literally. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus is going to set up his rule and reign here on the planet. We are going to rule and reign with him. We are sitting on the planet that we will inherit with Christ. We're co-heirs, joint heirs with Jesus. That is just straight scripture. So right now, the earth is groaning. It's just, Romans 8 says the earth is groaning, longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Can't wait for the day when our true identity is revealed, when we are glorified and come back as co-heirs with Jesus. And so right now, everything that the earth is going through is birth pains. It's birth pains, Paul says in Romans 8, 1 Thessalonians 5. Birth pains. Man, it was not easy to get, we have five children. It was not easy to give birth to five children. And my wife says it was pretty hard for her too. Labor is not pleasant. It's not pleasant. But I tell you what, the pain, and I've used this before, but it speaks. When you go to a hospital and you hear screams and shrieks of pain and agony, it all depends on what floor you're on, whether or not you're going to determine whether those shrieks of pain are good and helpful or not. If you're in the oncology unit or some other unit, or if you're in, they don't call it the pregnancy ward. What do they call it? Labor and delivery. Okay. The cries that you hear and the groans in labor and delivery are leading to joy. They're leading to joy. Listen, we're in labor and delivery right now. The earth is groaning. Lost my place. Can't see so good. I was young, now I am old. Verse 20. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish. Like smoke, they vanish away. The wicked borrows but not, doesn't pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. That's what we do. We give our lives away. We give our time. We give our treasure. We give our talent. We exist not for ourselves. We exist for the Lord and for others. We love our neighbor as ourselves. But those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land. There it is again. But those cursed by him shall be cut off. Don't forget who you are and what's in store for us, folks. Don't forget it. It'll keep you full of hope. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Man, when you're just trusting in the Lord and you're not letting worry overtake you and resentment settle into you, your steps are being established. Remember Psalm 19, your word is a lamp unto my feet. The word shines on the path, and you just go, there it is. I see my next step. Boom. My steps are being established by the Lord because he's shining the light of his word. There it is again. Got one more. Oh, there's more light. Though he fall, what happens if we fall? He shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. So if you get off the path a little bit and you trip and you fall over into the ditch, God's not going to go, oh, see ya. No, he's going, oh, I see what happened there here. Come on back up here. Let's get back on the path. Verse 27, turn away from evil and do good. So shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. God loves just. God is perfectly just. We talked about this on Sunday, didn't we? It's a tough passage where Jesus is talking about hell. And he's talking about cutting off your hand if it causes you to stumble. Talking about, you know, better for you if a millstone was wrapped around your neck and you're thrown into the East River if you cause a little one who believes in Jesus to stumble and all that. Like, man, that's heavy. And hell is real. Whatever it literal fire, I don't know. It's just, it's not good in the sense that it's not a joyful place. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we don't apologize for God on that. We don't hide God from people. We don't like, well, there's a few things they don't want you to see. God is perfectly just. He's righteous in all of his ways. There is no darkness with God at all. He loves justice. He won't forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land. There is again, and they'll dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom. His tongue speaks justice, speaks it. Talk about it. Let people know with grace, with respect, what's right, what's wrong. Because we love justice, we love righteousness. We are citizens of heaven, but we're citizens of this nation as well. The The law of his God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. That's literally what happened today. Some guy 200 yards away finding his spot and just waiting. We're going to, after I read these last couple verses, we're going to just pray, maybe in groups of two or three or whatever, and we're, yes, pray for Erica, Kirk, and the children, but pray for this nation. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the church of God in these days. Whatever else the Holy Spirit leads you to pray for. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. And so we can argue that the Lord saved Charlie Kirk today, that the last breath he took here on earth turned into the first breath he took in the presence of his Lord and his Savior, Jesus Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, we don't say that to minimize the horror for those who are left behind. But we say that in Christian hope because it's real. Christian hope is different than worldly hope. Worldly hope is it might happen, it might not. My wife used to, years ago, she would shop at this certain store in town where you get the little squares, and there's this board and you put the squares on there and you can win a donut or you can win $5 or something and that kind of stuff, right? But you could win $1 million. And a couple of times Pam came to me and said, "Honey, I'm one square away from $1 million. Man, I hoped. Didn't happen. Our hope is a living hope. Our hope is Christ himself. And so our hope is sure. So when you read in the Bible, in the New Testament, hope, read certainty. This is certain. This is absolute. That's why we can say with certainty, our brother Charlie Kirk, based upon his confession of faith, is with his Lord. Lord, we thank you for this psalm, and we just needed something, Lord, to give us some perspective. And we love how your word does that. It just kind of is with us through valley times and grief times, confusion times and mountaintop times and everything in between. So thank you, Lord, for your word that is like water that just washes over us, helps us, situates us properly in our attitudes and perspectives. And Lord, would you just be with us in our prayer groups now for the next few minutes? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just go ahead and get together in 2, 3, 4, whatever, and pray as you feel led.